O God, who on the holy mount didst reveal to chosen witnesses thy most loved Son, wonderfully transfigured, mercifully grant unto us such a vision of his divine majesty, that we, being purified and strengthened by thy grace, may be transformed into his likeness from glory to glory, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's gospel reading takes place almost in the middle of Mark's gospel, shortly before Jesus and his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, go up a mountain while in the village of the Caesarea Philippi. Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus strictly charges them not to tell anyone about this. Soon after, Jesus begins to tell his disciples in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed after 3 days and rise again. Now 6 days later, somewhere in Galilee, Jesus and his chosen three climb a mountain. Some scholars think the mountain is either Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon. Most think it was Mount Hermon. The summit of Mount Hermon straddles the border of Syria and Lebanon and rises 9,232 feet above sea level. That is a tall mountain for anyone to walk up. In Mark's gospel, he portrays Jesus as very much a human. He feels pity for people, he shows angry, feels hungry, and is tired. While on the mountain, he doesn't speak to the three disciples. Sometime after the four of them reached the top, Jesus was transfigured. His illumination came from within and not by something from outside. His brightness or radiance is brighter than a lightning flash. Now, I've seen lightning strike trees and can tell you it creates a very bright flash. The illumination is a glimpse of Jesus' second coming, when he will come on a cloud of glory. Well, on the mountain and during the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are given a brief glimpse of the glory of our Heavenly Father dwelling among men. Well, there, suddenly, Elijah and Moses appear before them and are seen talking to Jesus. It may be Jesus is talking to them about his imminent death that was going to happen. We don't know because none of the Gospels tell us what was said. Moses had an encounter with God very similar to what Jesus experienced. I would like you to turn to page 124 in your Pew Bibles to Exodus chapter 24, verses 15 to 16, and follow along with me. Then Moses went up on a mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. In chapter 34 of Exodus, we read that Moses had to go back up the mountain and obtain a second set of tablets containing the Ten Commandments, because when he came down with the first set, Aaron his brother had made a molten calf for the people to worship. When Moses saw what had happened, he threw down the tablets and broke them. Because he broke the tablets, he had to go back up later and receive replacements. Now turn to page 141 to Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, and follow along with me. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. After that, Moses would wear a veil to cover his face. He would remove the veil when he entered the tabernacle to talk to God, and then when he left, he would put the veil back on again. Now back to the mountaintop with Jesus and the three disciples. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." This is very reminiscent to what was written in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb." In Mark chapter 1, verse 11, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" By saying this, God is telling the disciples who Jesus is and is now being endorsed by his Father. So far, the disciples have not listened very well. They still think of Jesus as a good teacher and a future Messiah of the Old Testament that looked for an earthly king. The three disciples saw the glory of Jesus. They saw his greatness over Moses and Elijah, and they heard the voice from a cloud giving authentication to Jesus as the Son of God, and they still didn't get it. In Mark chapter 9, verse 38, after coming down from the mountain, they still called Jesus teacher. As I mentioned earlier, Peter professed Jesus as the Messiah in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, when he said, "You are the Christ." In that instance, however, Peter was still thinking about a divinely anointed leader. The disciples were still looking for someone who would liberate the Jewish people from the stranglehold Rome had on them. After seeing Jesus talking to Elijah and Moses, Peter says in Mark chapter 9, verse 5, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." It could be Peter thought Jesus was tired after climbing the mountain. However, if Peter had recognized who Jesus was, he would not have called him Rabbi, which means teacher. Readers of the Gospels today had the advantage of knowing who Jesus is before the disciples knew. They did not have Gospel accounts to read yet. Our Gospel reading for today covered three awe-inspiring events for the disciples while on the mountain. One, Jesus was transfigured or changed by a remarkable radiance of glory, his face and his clothes. Two, Moses and Elijah, who had been dead for a long time, appear. And three, God speaks from the cloud, telling the disciples, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." It took the death and resurrection of Jesus to convince all but one of Jesus' disciples, and the one holdout was Thomas, and he was convinced when he was told to put his hand in the wound of Jesus' side and to look at the holes in his hand. Sadly, in today's world, there are still people who don't believe, let alone know who Jesus is. It is up to us as Christians to proclaim the gospel in our daily lives by word and deed, as St. Francis reminded us when he worked the earth. We need to listen and do what Jesus tells us in the Bible and the Great Commission. As disciples, we are to proclaim the gospel to everyone. The transfiguration validated to Jesus' disciples that he is who he said he is, the Son of God. His glory was seen, and his disciples told him to, and his disciples to listen to him. Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. After the transfiguration, Jesus, Peter, James, and John descend from the mountain and head for Jerusalem, where he gives the ultimate sacrifice for us all. This Wednesday is part of the start of the 40 days of Lent. We will have 40 days to prepare ourselves for the celebration of all celebrations, the resurrection of our Savior. We live in a broken world where darkness prevails. Think about what we can do to help heal it. Some ideas are doing daily readings in our Bibles, daily prayers for our nation and the world, food for the Douglas Food Bank, and fasting. There are many more things we can do If anyone would like other suggestions of good books to read for Lent or other helps, I'll be glad to help you. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.